Welcome to the Richview Church Podcast. We want to journey with you in your next steps with Jesus. Ready? Let's go.
Good morning and welcome to our service. We're so glad if you've gathered online with us today, and we pray that you'll continue to be blessed as you join us week by week. I do want to begin by just reminding you that 2 weeks from now, March 7th, is our induction service celebration for the calling of Pastor Tyler Scarborough to the position of lead pastor here at Richview, a celebration both of Pastor Tyler's calling, a celebration for the congregation of Richview, and we hope that you will plan on being present that day online. Pastor John Boyachek is going to be coming and bringing the challenge to both Pastor Tyler and to you as a congregation. And if you want to send in a video greeting, we would really appreciate that too. And more information about that is in your e-bulletin. Well, let me begin with prayer. Father God, I thank you for being with us today as we've already been in worship before your throne. And we celebrate your grace. We would not be here apart from your grace. Your grace not only saves us, but sustains us, and we are so dependent on your grace in these times. And it is our prayer that we would become more and more like you, and we would discern what it means to follow you and live in your ways. So help us, Father, even today, as we dig into your word, that by your Spirit you would help us and guide us and teach us, refresh us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Speak to us this day. Fill our homes where we're watching this with a sense of your presence. Bless your word as we hear it today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have been following along with us over the past few weeks, we have been looking at this letter of 1 Peter, and if you have been tuning in and watching online, I expect that you have been challenged by this teaching. These are some of the most challenging words we find in Scripture, but I hope that you have been encouraged by it too. The overarching theme that Peter addresses over and over again in this letter is how we are to think about and how we are to live in difficult times. And sometimes this teaching is quite surprising, counterculture to our natural tendencies, certainly not easy. Now, the people Peter was originally writing to were going through difficult times. And then throughout history, many Christians have found themselves in difficult times, and this letter has been turned to for guidance and encouragement and perspective. And so we too can find that guidance and encouragement as we dig into these words, as we too are living in these challenging and uncertain times. The fact is that difficult times can really shake our faith and confuse us. Maybe some of you have thought that if you put your faith in God, try to be a good person, that it's going to be smooth sailing. Or you thought the Christian life would simply be easier than you have found it to be. Or that if you simply pray enough, have enough faith, then life is just going to be one good thing after another. But we live in a broken world and will at times be confronted by evil and by people who are against following God and following Jesus. And so we need to be alert to the various ways that we might be tempted to respond and be prepared to live out our faith in ways that honor God and follow the way of Jesus. I'm calling my message today, Faithful Living in Difficult Times. And we're going to see the kinds of ways that we are called to live in following Jesus, even in the midst of difficult times and difficult situations. Now, we're going to be covering a fairly large section of this letter today, and we're going to be looking at three main parts. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning at verse 8 to the end of that chapter, and I would so encourage you to take out your Bibles with me and follow closely along, because that's going to be very important to track with this teaching, and I hope you will do so. Now, we're going to be looking at the first five verses, again, 1 Peter 3, chapter 8, beginning verse 8 for the next five verses. And this section lays out a fairly broad kind of positive life, positive influence that we are to seek to live in this world, even though we may be in difficult circumstances. Let me read this text, verses 8 through 12. Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep their tongue from evil and their lips from deceitful speech. They must turn from evil and do good. They must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Now, the big idea of these verses is that it's tempting as it may be to withdraw or become hard or even vengeful in difficult times. As followers of Jesus, we are to pursue, even in those times, lives of harmony and love and humility and positive influence. This, Peter says, is actually how we live a blessed life, a life that honors God and experiences God's favor. And to back that up, he quotes from a wonderful psalm of inspiration, Psalm 34. These words confirm that people who truly want to honor God in this world, those who want to experience and be certain of God's favor, are not to be overcome by the evil and the many temptations that surround them, but pursue living lives that are loving and good. The Apostle Paul wrote similarly. He put it this way in Romans 12:21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What a challenge. What a challenge to do that. Well, how are we to do that? Both Peter's words and the words he quotes from the psalm list a variety of things that we are to do and things we are not to do, so that our lives honor God and bless others. This is the way of Jesus. Look at the list. I have found seven areas. I'm going to go through them fairly quickly. First of all, be like-minded. You see that right there in verse 8. Be like-minded, or some translate, live in harmony. Let me ask you, do you become a difficult person in the midst of difficulty? It's easy to do, isn't it? You know, kind of grumpy, hard to get along with, disagreeable. Anyone getting a nudge on the couch? We need to strive for unity and harmony even more in challenging times, in stressful times. Number two, be sympathetic, loving, and compassionate. I'm putting those all together. Is your life responsive and engaging to the needs of others? Tender towards others? You see, right now, more than ever, people need a listening ear, a caring heart. Are you withdrawing into your shell, binging on Netflix? Are you looking for ways to serve others. You know what I've found? Helpful people are never bored. If you're bored, you're probably not looking for ways to help others. There's always kinds of ways to help others, even if you're at home. Number three, be humble. Is pride and ego messing up your relationships? Do you think you're always right? Are you so opinionated you shut others down? Humble people stand out in a world of arrogance. They draw people rather than repel people. Number four, don't repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Rather, repay evil with blessing. Wow, what a challenge, but amazingly powerful. How different than some of the political wrangling we have witnessed as of late. Remember Jesus' words about turning the other cheek, and if someone asks for your coat, don't withhold your shirt? You see, Jesus' followers are called to a radical kind of love. We'll look at that more in a few moments. Five, the psalmist invites us to, in brief, to watch our mouths, to watch our tongues and our lips, to watch our talk. How are you doing on that one? And I think that this readily includes what we post or text or communicate online. What does your communication reveal? Jesus said, out of our heart, our mouth speaks. Number six, we are to turn from evil and do good. Temptations are around every corner. Are you resisting? Stats are that addictions have grown in this time of isolation and lockdown. Positively, are you engaged with good things, looking for ways to make a difference, to encourage, to help? And number seven, we are to seek peace and pursue it. Oh, how we need peacemakers today. Are you a peacemaker? Do you help kind of bring people together, or just kind of sit back and disengage and watch the fight go on? We are to pursue peace actively. Engage. You see, all these things set us apart. They reveal a different orientation to life. And this is how we live and actually experience a blessed life, a life that blesses others and in turn God blesses. Now, a blessed life, we kind of often think, is one that doesn't have any problems. Just kind of filled with good things. That's a blessed life. But blessed here, according to Peter, is about honoring God and living a godly life even in difficult situations. And Peter pushes that even further, writes something quite surprising in the next section. But then he goes on to share actually how we can live this different way. So we're going to look at this section now, verses 13 to 17. I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. For it is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. When we experience difficult times, difficult people, we have an incredible opportunity to show others that we are different by the ways that we respond. And that often gives us an opportunity to speak about our faith. Let's dig in a little bit more to this section. Peter begins by indicating that usually, normally, if we are eager to live good lives, and do all the things in the previous verses that we just looked at, then we're not going to experience much difficulty from people or harm. Verse 13 says, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? You see, generally, people like faithful, loving, considerate, kind, generous, hardworking people. That's usually the case. But there are times and circumstances when it doesn't. Well, what then? Verse 14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Wow. We are blessed if we suffer for what is right. It won't feel like blessing in the moment. But know this, God is honored and God will see, and in the long term, it will be a blessing if you follow in the way of Jesus. Here, Peter quotes again from the Hebrew Scriptures. Now, actually, from the prophet Isaiah. And I think it's actually worth hearing the full verse. And this is from Isaiah 8 and 12. Peter just quotes a little bit, but here's the full verse. Do not call conspiracy everything this people calls a conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. What a word for our time. What an opportunity to be different. Isn't it amazing? Even in ancient times, there were conspiracy theories. There are so many bandwagons to jump on these days. And Peter says, don't fear what others fear. And I think that some of us, some of you listening right now, you need to sit with that verse for a little while. Do not fear what others fear. Well, how do we not get sucked into all the fear and anxiety? Well, Peter tells us, verse 15, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. A short phrase, but powerful, because this changes everything. Battling fear requires that we pay attention to and honor and trust the one who is greater and is above all the difficult times, all the things that we are navigating, and the difficult people that we may have to deal with. Peter says, we set our hearts on Him. We remind ourselves over and over and over again that we are His and that He is still in charge. We align our hearts with His. We revere Him as Lord. And that's why we need to spend time with Jesus every day in quiet, to align our hearts with Him. And Peter says, and if we do this, be ready. Be ready. Be ready for what? Look at verse 15. But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You see, when we live differently, when we follow in the way of Jesus, when we reveal that we live by a different Lord, that we create questions in people's minds. And the Holy Spirit uses that. And we are to be ready to speak, ready to speak to the kind of hope that we live by in difficult times, that we have a hope beyond the brokenness and problems of this world. See, there are all kinds of stories being shared right now of opportunities people have had in the midst of COVID to talk about, to post about their faith. Be ready. Are you ready? And I love the caveat, the guidance Peter puts here, but do this with gentleness and respect. What we don't need right now is ranting, obnoxious, confrontational, condemning speeches. We're to give a positive witness. Trust the Holy Spirit to work in a person's heart and mind to convict them and draw them to the love of Jesus. Our primary task is not to convince, but to bear witness, to share the hope we have and the reason for it, which of course is Jesus himself. And Peter adds, verse 16, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Our witness needs to be backed up with our lives. Such harm has come to the witness of the church by the alarming inconsistencies between what some Christians have professed and how they live. Oh Lord, help us. Now we all fail, and we are all works in progress, but our lives need to increasingly reflect both the love of Christ and the purity of Christ if our witness is going to have impact. It will not be easy. The cost of living with integrity and biblical faithfulness in this messed up world may be high. But we should remember always that this is the way of Jesus, which is again where Peter turns right now in our text. And verse 18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit." Jesus paid the ultimate price in suffering at the hands of others and in loving the unrighteous, which, Peter reminds us, includes you and me. As Pastor Tyler Cott taught a couple weeks ago, Jesus was dealt the ultimate injustice, and we are at times called to suffer injustice too. Challenging stuff. But hold on, that's not the end of the story. Peter now wants to remind his readers that injustice in this world is not the end of the story. Jesus was resurrected, and his unjust treatment was redeemed, accomplished the salvation for all those who would put their trust in him. In the end, injustice does not win. In the end, evil does not win. In the end, those who mock faith do not win. Jesus wins, and so will all his faithful followers. And to illustrate that, Peter goes on now on a bit of an excursion, which is kind of confounded and continues to confuse Bible interpreters to this day. Let's read the text and then I'll make some comments. Beginning at verse 19. After being alive, again after Jesus was crucified, made alive by the Spirit, he went and made proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, to those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clear conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Well, what is this about? If you're confused, you stand in good stead. The 16th century brilliant reformer Martin Luther described this as the most obscure passage in the New Testament. Again, well-respected biblical theologians differ on their interpretations, and we could spend considerable time going through the various challenges, possibilities of these verses with, in my estimation, not a whole lot of value. So I'm going to be quite brief. You can study it more yourself and be glad to have a further conversation with you. But what is quite clear is that Peter is drawing on the story of Noah to illustrate God's power to rescue and to deliver. And then with kind of a double analogy, uses the rescue of Noah in the flood to illustrate baptism as the symbol of our salvation. The most difficult part is verses 19 and 20, where Jesus is making proclamation to the imprisoned spirits, which has been most commonly understood as Jesus announcing his victory over sin and death after his crucifixion, but before his bodily resurrection. Why he includes that at this juncture and the importance of it is not fully understood. Many have suggested that for Peter's first readers, he was drawing on material or teaching or ancient writings that would have been well known to them and therefore makes his point clearly understandable, but leaves us a little bit confused. What I believe we are to take away is that regardless of the times we live in, God is able to rescue. And if we put our faith in Him and faithfully follow Him, then He's going to bring us through. God rescued Noah and his family as Noah did what God asked him to do by building the ark in the midst of ridicule and unbelief. God vindicated Jesus, even though he suffered great injustice. But this suffering brought us salvation. And now, Jesus is at God's right hand with all powers in submission to him. Jesus is fully and finally vindicated at the throne of God. All powers under submission to him. Verse 22. And so, the point is, we too can trust and follow God in our difficult circumstances, confident that ultimate blessing will be ours, and that God can use us to be a witness to others if we live faithful lives. And just so we're clear on this issue about baptism, it's not water baptism that saves, but spiritual baptism that is symbolized in water baptism. That is the time that we pledge ourselves, we make the good confession of our complete abandonment to God. Confession of our sin, trust in His grace to cleanse us and save us. So much in those little verses, but hard at times to unpack. Well, I'm going to leave it there. Let me simply ask you now, are you following in the way of Jesus? If you have confessed your faith in Jesus, is your life pointing to Him? In these troubled times, we need to revere Christ as Lord, align our hearts to Him, and then let our witness and our good actions and our kindness bring glory to His name. And in the midst of that, God will use us by His Spirit to draw others to Himself. Now, I want to close today by sharing something that I was so personally blessed by this week, and I just so wanted to share it, and I hope it encourages you today too. This week I received a wonderful email from a young woman who, as A teenager over 10 years ago was part of the congregation that I served at that time. At that time, she had rejected Christianity and, in a state of significant depression as an older teen, almost died in a drug overdose. But God was gracious to her, and after 4 days in a coma, she woke up. We talked at length at that time about her experience and how God was speaking to her, but she was completely unconvinced. She was simply locked into her atheistic position. But she did know that I and others cared for her deeply. Well, she wrote to me this week, some 10 years later, after a failed and abusive marriage, after other significant losses, after much emotional pain. And she wrote to me that about a year ago, she began to search for God, even though God was already right there. She began attending a church. And early last year, she finally humbled herself and put her trust in Jesus. She wrote this: "People have asked me how I was able to cope through the COVID-19 pandemic, as well as all the racial unrest that was happening across the globe, but particularly in the U.S., where she lives now. And by the way, she has a Nigerian background. In fact," she writes, "2020 was the best year of my life. I experienced more love and peace and joy than I have ever known in 2020. And I believe without a doubt that it was all God. I was baptized November 8th, 2020. Be encouraged today. God is still at work today, and He wants to work through you as you simply love and care for others and give faithful witness as you have opportunity. Don't give up. You may not see the result today. You may have to wait, but keep following Jesus. Live for Him. Live His way. And you will live a blessed life." Let me lead us in prayer. Father God, You know each one of us right now. And yes, some of us are so struggling right now. This has been a long, hard journey, and there's more to go. There's been hurt, pain, and loss. But Father, this is no surprise to You. And we see the witness of people living in difficult times all through the Scriptures. And we can live a faithful life even in the midst of difficult times, if in our hearts we revere You and set You apart and worship You as Lord. So Father, help us now recommit our lives to You, to turn towards You, to cry out to You for the strength, for the commitment, for the passion to live for You, even in the midst of these difficult times, trusting You to work through us and to bring us through according to Your grace, according to Your loving power. For we would pray this all in the name of Jesus, Your Son. Amen.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged in today's podcast. Check us out at richviewchurch.com, Facebook, or Twitter at Richview Toronto. But you know what? we're not an online church, so we hope that you'll come visit our church in person. We'd love to get to know you.